you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. If you were tuned in yesterday, you know we reached back over 12 years ago, and I'm re-airing Pastor Jason Schiffo and my interview with John MacArthur. We had him on the phone for about 45 minutes, and you heard him yesterday, and you'll hear him again today as we continue our discussion about God's grace, prayer, and the importance of following Jesus. Here's how I set up the program, and be mindful of the fact that it was 12 years ago, so he's probably written many more books, and he's now serving over 50 years in his pastoral role.
Welcome to Mark and Friends, and on this Tuesday edition, I'm glad to have Pastor Jason Schiffo back in the studio. He's the senior pastor of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois, right on Route 47. And yesterday, if you were tuned in, you know what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the theme of prayer, and we have a special guest, John MacArthur. Jason and I called him up a few days ago, and we recorded our conversation. Pastor John MacArthur came out with a new book, his 75th or 76th book. He's written like 75 books, so whether this is the 75th or the 76th, the recent book is called At the Throne of Grace, A Book of Prayers. We talked about that some yesterday, and we saved part of that conversation for today. So we're going to talk a little more about prayer. But in case you missed yesterday, let me invite you to go to our website, greatnewsradio.org. And under the archived programs link, you'll see John MacArthur's name. And then you'll see the book title, At the Throne of Grace. And this book is also pictured on our website at greatnewsradio.org. So you can kind of see the book, and maybe through today's conversation or through yesterday's conversation, you'll want to purchase the book. And you can do that by going to the Grace Church. That's John MacArthur's church. I think he served there as senior pastor for 40 plus years. That's gracechurch.org. And the Harvest House Publishers came out with this book. So gracechurch.org. Now, John MacArthur, for those of you unfamiliar with him, he hosts the program Grace to You, and it's heard weekday mornings at 5 a.m. on WGNN and weekday afternoons on WGNJ at 1 p.m. So we invite you to tune in. But let me do a little intro on John MacArthur, and then we're going to set the stage of what today's conversation is going to be talking about. But John MacArthur is the pastor teacher of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California. He's the president of the Master's College and Seminary and featured teacher for the Grace to You Media Ministry, which includes TV and radio broadcasts, as I mentioned, 5 a.m. on WGNN, 1 p.m. on WGNJ. He's written many best-selling books, like we mentioned, 75 of them, including Slave, 12 Ordinary Men, The Gospel According to Jesus, the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series, and the Notes for the MacArthur Study Bible. He and his wife, Patricia, have 4 children and 15 grandchildren. If you tuned in yesterday, I made a little fun of that because 4 of his children, their first names begin with M, and then we asked them about his 15 grandchildren. Well, Jason, I know yesterday we talked a lot about prayer, but in our discussion that we recorded last week with John MacArthur, you wanted to know his feelings on the state of the church. Why was that important for you to ask?
Because when you look at John's expansive work and you listen to John preach, you know that John stands for the truth. I mean, that matters first and foremost to him. I think he'll even talk today in terms he addresses that. And so John wants to make sure that he believes and he holds the Bible to a certain level, and he believes that we can't ever undersell the Bible. We can't allow what culture has to say to overrun what God wants to say through his word. And so being where I place John in terms of teachers in my life, in terms of external teachers that I listen to every week and that I learn from, John is one that I wanted to know his feelings on the state of the church. And then I think the first question today is something that I've wrestled with a lot, which is this culture of books, you know, where I think it was not too long ago, somebody had said to me, "Hey, have you read Crazy Love?" And I said, "Oh, you mean 1 John chapter 4, you know, God is love." Because what's crazier than a bunch of sinners who God comes to and he offers them grace and mercy and love, even in light of where they've been and what they've done. And they go, no, you know, kind of got the quizzical look. And they go, no, I mean, like Francis Chan. And I go, well, do we have a love affair with books and we've fallen out of love, or we've in somehow, some way, shape, or form devalued the book, and we've allowed Francis Chan's truth to become bigger than the truth in God's word? And so I asked John the question about where books place in our lives in terms of God's word, because I do think there is. I was at the Christian bookstore recently. I mean, there's a culture of you need this next book so you can learn this next great, you know, 4, 5-step, 7-step concept, when those things are all found in God's word. And if you spend enough time in God's word and God's spirit revealing things to you, you're going to find out everything you need to know about life. I mean, it's all, everything you need to know about your finances, your love life, your sex. I mean, everything you need to know is in the Bible. You don't have to step outside of that. So I wanted to ask John in terms of that and talk to him about the state of the church, what he sees the church. I mean, somebody who's been around for 40 years teaching and preaching and traveling and writing books, where do you see the church at? And what do you think that we need to do as the people of God right now? Because I think we're at a crossroads. And when I look at the church, I think we're at a crossroads.
Well, with that said, we're going to start with the first question that you asked John, and that's really the state of the church and talking about resources and books. And so here's our conversation as recorded with John MacArthur, and Pastor Jason opens up with a question.
John, on another page in the book, you said that you feel, when you were talking about writing this prayer book and prayer books in general, you said that you felt that they could easily be misused. And I even underlined here, fosters ritualism and religious formalism. And I was wondering, in kind of this age where you walk in a bookstore and there's, you know, 40 days with Jesus, you know, 365 days in the Lord's footsteps, and I could, you know, streams in the desert, or, you know, you could name them all. I mean, there's hundreds upon hundreds of these devotional books. Do you think that in people's lives it's a positive, or do you think it's a negative in that that becomes the box they check off instead of actually entering into God's presence in His Word?
Well, let me tell you, Jason, there is no end to the appetite for short, shallow approaches to Scripture. You could do a million little soundbite daily devotional deals, and there would never be an end to the appetite for those. Mm. But this book is trying to say, you know, we need to get to a depth of prayer and a depth of comprehension of Scripture. So obviously, that's a concern to me. I don't mind those books. I love to read good, sound theology in any dosage. You know, I can take half a milligram of it and love it. So I don't mind that. But for some people, that's all there is some very brief understanding of something. I'm not trying to, this book doesn't really fit into the devotional thing, because this book is not sort of, I need to know this for me. This book is about how I worship God. Obviously, you could say, well, somebody might read these prayers. Well, I don't mind that. We sing songs somebody else wrote all the time. I wouldn't mind somebody reading a prayer, but I would rather think that people could read the book and deepen their own approach to prayer than just to read it, although that's not a problem. Some of the greatest prayers that you would ever read are prayers contained in Scripture. Some of my very favorite prayers, prayers of Jeremiah, prayers of Daniel, prayers of the Apostle Paul. But this isn't a devotional book. It's an exercise in reading prayers that may be different than people are used to praying, to help them to maybe learn to pray a new way.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I've always gotten that from you in terms of, I mean, I remember years ago reading Fool's Gold, and I was always struck by that passage that you had on worship music, that, you know, there was just a real lack of a theological understanding in terms of the worship leader to bring you into the presence of God through Scripture and not just through kind of, I don't know how you want to say it, just real easy musical hooks and that. And I get that here, too, from the devotional. Now, a question that I really wanted to ask you, John. One of my favorite books that you've written is The Truth War. And it's one that I just actually loaned out my two copies, well-worn copies on my bookshelf to two people who I think I said, you just need to read this book. But I would love to know, John, I've got two questions pertaining to this. But the first question, the state of the church in your opinion today.
Well, I grieve for the state of the church today. Where do I begin? I'm just all about the truth. Everything is about the truth, the fullness of the truth, the complete truth of Holy Scripture. I think we play fast and loose with certain truths. You know, it's almost as if today, if you affirm the doctrine of the cross, if you affirm Jesus on the cross and the doctrine of substitutionary atonement, you get a free pass on everything else, and you can careen willy-nilly through a ministry with total disregard for what Scripture would desire. The church suffers from abysmal lack of discernment. There is a woeful ecclesiology. There's a non-existent eschatology. There's very little concern about pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, because people are afraid to step on the toes of the charismatics. And consequently, there's a very little interest, almost indifference towards sanctification. You'd have to ask, with all the rock and roll stuff that's going on in churches, how could they have any interest in sanctification when they're trying to be as much like the world as possible and then try to teach people to separate from the world? So there are grave concerns. And I love what Paul was faithful to do when he said, "I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." I think that's what's missing in the church. And, you know, there are people who are celebrity status pastors for the reason that they got the gospel right, and then beyond that, it's almost as if any kind of outrage goes because they got the gospel right. So I just feel like that's a sad reality, and the churches that are big churches now that sort of seduce young men are morphing into things that aren't really churches at all. Mm.
You almost lead me into my next question, John. Because over the last, say, year and a half or 2 years, as I kind of look at the evangelical landscape in terms of pastors, you know, and those big names that maybe you were alluding to without saying, I see them now leaving the church to go for, you know, I think I read a couple weeks ago one pastor say, well, God's calling me just to write books and talk at conferences and that's it. And, I mean, somebody like yourself who's been in the church for 40-plus years, taught expositionally the Bible verse by verse. I mean, you've devoted your life to that in the New Testament. You know, you've written 75 books. You've obviously spoke at tons of conferences. I mean, you've done everything, but you've never left the role of pastorate.
Look, the only thing I read in the New Testament is that the Lord has chosen apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teaching pastors for the edification of his church, for the building of the body. Jesus never promised to build or bless any institution except the church. And, you know, I've always said this to people, you know, if you're going to be faithful and fulfilling a calling into ministry, how can you not be a pastor? How can you not be either a pastor in a church or an evangelist in a church? The only institution that we know in the New Testament is the church, a kind of freewheeling, free-floating Christians who have marginal, if any, accountability. The New Testament doesn't know anything about those people. The church is the body of Christ. And while we can have corollary ministries and write books and, you know, be on radio or whatever, I think the church is the one institution that Christ said he was building. And everyone who serves him should be connected faithfully to the church. It doesn't mean we all have to be the pastor of the church or elders in the church, but we need to be a part of that and under the authority and leadership of the church and the God-appointed shepherds.
Yeah, and I think, too, that there would be just a huge problem. You know, and I don't know these pastors, and I don't know their individual unique situations, but for me, as a pastor, I would see just where then is the authority? Where then is that authority that you would submit to? So that's one of my great concerns when I see that happening, even apart from the fact that you're called to be a pastor. I don't think that Jesus gave a plan B. The church is plan A, and that's the only plan.
Well, look, Hebrews 13:17 says, submit to those who are over you in the Lord. Follow their faith, because they care for your souls. I don't need a visiting speaker. I want to hear from a guy who cares for souls. That's the church. Submit to those who teach you the word of God, who are over you in the Lord, who care for your souls. That's a church. If you got a flat screen face 2,000 miles from where you live, they're not able to follow your faith. You're not caring for their souls. That's what pastors do. And I think soul care, the integrity of living out your life visibly in a congregation of people, is what God calls us to. And then you can have an extended ministry that rises out of faithfulness to the church.
Hmm. Well, John, as you know, with Christian radio, Christian TV, oftentimes maybe as much as 20% of the listening audience or the viewing audience might be unchurched or unfamiliar with the gospel message or have never entertained the idea that God loves them, or this whole concept of prayer that you can literally talk with Almighty Sovereign God. What would you say to that listener or that seeker that this is just a foreign concept, this prayer? What do you mean talking to God or praying to God or worshiping God or surrendering to Him?
First of all, in order to communicate with God and be heard, you have to have a relationship with Him. You have to know Him and be known by Him. And the only way that you can know Him, be known by Him, love Him, be loved by Him, is through confession of sin, repentance, and faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again as a sacrifice for our sin, validated by the resurrection. God was satisfied that He had provided a sufficient atonement for the sins of all who repent and believe in Him. And upon believing in Him in that way, we are reconciled to God. We are adopted into His family. We become His children, His sons, and He is Abba Father. He is our Father. And at that point, there is a relationship in which we can ask Him, pouring out our hearts before Him for all that we need and all that we desire. And the promise of Scripture is that He would hear us and answer our prayers for His own glory. Whatever you ask in My name, the Father will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So God has limitless resources in heaven to pour out on those who love Him and are loved by Him, and that only happens through faith in Jesus Christ.
And all of God's people said, well, John, I'm going to just stop for a second here, and I want to be sensitive to your time, and I don't know what your next scheduled appointment is.
I'm about 10 minutes overdue, so.
Okay. Is there anything else you would want to close on? I mean, we'll obviously fill in a lot of how they can get a hold of your book or your books and other things, but is there anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Only that I think people struggle with prayer because they don't know how to pray. They don't know the words. I think this book will help them see a way to pray that will be profoundly enriching for them.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll put this together probably into two broadcasts this next week and let everyone know how to tune in and hear you on our four frequencies. And God's very best to you. Thanks for carving out this time. I know this has to, I won't say get routine, but, you know, here's another one.
It's been anything but routine. And I know you guys, where your hearts are, and I deeply appreciate it. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, we're back in the studio here. This is Mark Burns with Pastor Jason Schiffo, and that was a conversation we recorded just a few days ago with author, teacher, conference speaker, Pastor John MacArthur. He just came out with a new book, At the Throne of Grace, A Book of Prayers. And if you'd like to purchase a copy or know more about his 75 other books, you can go to gracechurch.org, gracechurch.org.
Yeah, I just wanted to close and say a few things. As I was listening to that as we're recording this show, I just wanted to speak to my brothers out there who are pastors in churches. I mean, John quoted Ephesians 4:11-12. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And it says to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I know a lot of my brothers out there who are leading churches, who are guiding people who fit into those categories, and they do so because their hearts genuinely want to see you be built up and prepared to do the work that God has called you to do, whether it's you're a mom and you're discipling your kids during the day as you're raising them up, or maybe you're somebody who works on a construction site, and just by the nature of how you walk and what you do, you're sharing Christ, and it opens up avenues for you to be able to do so. Later in 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about being shepherds. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as an overseer. And it says this, not because you must, but because you're willing. And your pastor goes to church every day he arrives there, and I want everybody to know, because I'm a pastor, that it's a 24-hour job. I mean, it's like being a paramedic who carries a Bible instead of a first aid kit. But we're on call all day long. And it's not because it's a great job in terms of pay. It's not because the vacation package is through the roof. And it's not because I have a company car. it's because I'm willing. It's because God has called me to do this. God has called me to love him with all my heart, my soul, and my might, and to love each person in my congregation and those who are not in my congregation. And not because I have to, not because I've been commanded to, but because I am willing. And the last scripture that John quoted there in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, obey your leaders. And I had never read this full piece of scripture, so I want to tell you, as I was heard John say it, I flipped over my Bible to it, and I was like, oh. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. So your pastor, not only is he your teacher, is he the evangelist, is he leading and guiding you, is he sitting with you when you lose a loved one or a spouse, is he there crying with you when you're at the bottom? But also at the end of the day, in front of Almighty God, he's going to give an account. And he's going to give an account of the people that he shepherded and guided. And he's doing so because he is willing. And it says next in this piece of scripture that you are to obey them so that their work may be a joy. And I just want to challenge maybe each one of you to maybe go and encourage your pastor, maybe affirm him, maybe understand that he is standing in a place that's very, very tenuous. He has to give an account for you in front of Almighty God. And he does so because he's willing. And he wants to do it with his whole heart. And you have, in terms of this Hebrews scripture here, you have a place that you can make it a joy for him, or you can make it very hard for him. And so I just would love to have you just go and just encourage your pastor. Tell him that you're praying for him. Tell him that you're lifting him up. Tell him that you just want him to be able to be released to love God with his whole heart and to be joyful in all that he does as he leads and guides you, because he is willing to do that.
Yeah, and he already has that added pressure of just leading and teaching and preparing messages, but to be accountable before God on behalf of the congregation. Wow, what a weighty responsibility. Yeah. So let's encourage our pastors today. Let's be in prayer for them, and let's encourage them in various ways. Pastor Appreciation Month isn't just, what, in the fall in October.
No, I'm a proponent of it being all year long, if you want.
So pray for your pastor, encourage him today, encourage him this week, and encourage him on Sunday. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.